As Brother Ronnie Fadomo's prayer, continue to pray for me as I stand before you. It's good to be at home. The Lord has blessed us with a good day. And I truly want to stand before you. I want to thank each and every one that has sent cards and letters of support and prayers. I just felt your prayers when I went through the chemo treatment and the radiation, and I've had good reports. The Lord has blessed us, and I just thank Him for it, and I thank each and every one of you. We were in a communion service Friday night down at Brother Hebron, and Brother Philip was down there, and Brother Craig Lanier, he took the part of the blood, but Brother Craig spoke about the Lord's salvation. It is the Lord's salvation. Man in himself can do nothing. But I had a little sister that asked me today down at Rosemary. She said, Brother Charles, she said, there is so much division among the people of God. And she was referring to what happened yesterday. Yesterday in America was supposed to be doomsday. A fellow had come out and predicted the Lord was coming back. CNN News took up on that, and many did take that in the national news. And a lot of them asked this question, is this Bible right here a fairy tale? You see, what he predicted did not come true. But the Bible has never said what he said. He's a false prophet. He said the same thing in 1994. He repeated himself yesterday. He had many thousands of followers. He's got many thousands of people in his church. Family Radio is a big organization. I listen to it a good bit when I'm on the road, especially in the middle of the night when they have hymns of the night. I've known him for many, many years, but as I reveal to her and others today, God has given us the scriptures, and we are to follow those scriptures. You know, Jesus reminded the Pharisees, you do err not knowing the scriptures. But God in His great mercy has revealed to us in the scriptures. Yes, this world is in a turmoil. But even in the days of Jesus, when Jesus preached that great message in John 6, what did they do? They said, this is a hard saying, who can hear? The one that preached the greatest message, God incarnate in the flesh, speaking to them, and His voice was a powerful voice. It was a voice with authority, and they rejected Him. Down through the years, they have rejected the New Testament. As we look at the New Testament, God sent forth those apostles, and those apostles went and established the churches, began to deliver the truth of the gospel to them. It wasn't the world that rejected the truth. It was God's people that rejected the truth. You know, when Paul comes to the Galatians, and Paul was amazed that the truth had been delivered to the Galatian church. They had the truth of the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel. But when Judaizers come around and they wanted to add to it, what did they do? They left the truth and embraced the Judaizers. Even Peter himself, Paul had to withstand Peter, because Peter, when the Jews were there, he became a Jew. And Paul withstood him. The great apostle Paul that went and preached to the churches, he preached to the church at Ephesus. What did they do? He reminded them that they were God's elect. God had chosen them out before the foundation of the world. And you were dead in trespasses and sin, but you have been quickened by that Holy Spirit. You have something. You have been made a peculiar people. You have something. But later on, that church rejected. When the untruth came and the people begin to add to it. I think about Paul in the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians. When Paul comes to that church, what a mess it was. They had fallen into preacher worship. They had the communion services. We had it the other night, and we'll have here pretty soon. They had polluted that service. They were eating and drinking. They were celebrating. Now, they had been handed down the pattern. It had been given to them. Those apostles, those preachers had given it to them. The truth of the gospel was there. Some people say, well, you know, the apostles, they were a little bit divided on this. Peter was a little bit divided. No, he wasn't. They were in one accord. They were preaching Christ crucified, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were preaching the finished work of Jesus Christ. They were preaching the common faith, the Lord's salvation. The same salvation that when David rebelled and sinned against God. And in Psalm 51, David cried out to God for mercy. He said, clean me with hyssop. He was pleading with God to give him back what he had lost. And he said, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. It is the Lord's salvation. It is a gift of God, not of works. And so they were preaching. And when Paul preached to those in Corinth, what did they do? They begin to rebuke Paul. Well, maybe Paul is not an apostle. Maybe he's kind of took this upon himself. We be of Cephas. We be of Apollos. But we even be of Jesus Christ. And some said we be of Paul. What a great division they had. But later they begin to question Paul, and Paul began to rebuke them. He rebuked them. That was, I believe it's in chapter 5. There was an act going on in the church that even the Gentile didn't agree with. But the church would become so complacent. We look at people today. Now, yesterday I heard this feller, and he was trying to explain to these CNN news men, he was trying to explain to them. He said this. He said, we know that the Bible says, and he speaks the truth, that not even the angels in heaven know when he's coming back. Jesus revealed that to them. There's coming a day when he's coming back, but they don't know. He's not going to reveal that to mankind, and he was right there. Then he said, the trump shall sound, and with the voice of an archangel. He said, we'll be caught up in the clouds with him. But he changed that, and he said, all the Christians will be caught up. But the Jews and the unbeliever and all of these that have rejected him will be left behind. That is pure hogwash. The Bible does not teach that. But yet men will stand in front of God's people, and God's people will embrace that. We believe today, people ask us about our church. And I tell them, we are not Protestant. We never protested against the church at Rome. We never protested against the church in England. We have always been, since the days of Antioch, we have stuck to the Scriptures, our forefathers, and I thank God for them. They would not allow the world to come into this church. They rejected the world. The world is standing out there today. If you will help us, if you will let us set your agenda, we will come in. You know, tonight, if we could open a church up to the world, this pews would be full. If Brother Philip and I and Brother Gary and other preachers would stand here and preach what they wanted to hear, and we would heap all the praise on them, and we would commend them for their great works, and we would reveal to them their works is what they merited, how they merited eternal life and salvation. If we would say these things, we could fill up the pews. But we will not. Our forefathers did not do that from the days of the Antioch church. It was all about Jesus buried and Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. He said it's finished. Salvation is of the Lord. But Paul in the 2 Corinthians, we look at 2 Corinthians, and I've been reading a lot in 2 Corinthians. The Corinthian church is repenting. They turned out the man out of the church. They themselves, I believe that they have got it together. And they have took instructions, and they're no longer persecuting Paul. But they have accepted him as that 12th apostle. And I truly believe he was. Now, you know, one of the qualifications to be an apostle, you had to witness the resurrection of our Lord. I have never heard the audible voice of our God. I've never had a Damascus Road experience, but Paul did. Paul come face to face with the glory of Jesus Christ and with an audible voice when he said, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? Saul was chosen, and he was chosen to go to the Gentile churches. You know, I think about Paul going to Rome. You know, Rome rejected Paul. Paul didn't go there to convert Rome. Paul went there to preach to God's people. You remember Jesus told him, I have much people there. They were already there. Their hearts would be changed before Paul ever got there. Paul's preaching did not change them. It was that Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that gave them a new heart, a heart of flesh. And when Paul got there and began to deliver the message to them, it was not for Rome, but it was for God's people that lived in Rome. Rome rejected the truth of the gospel. Later on, we know when Constantine in the year 300, when Constantine went into Constantinople and he left the bishop with 100,000 people, that they established the church at Rome and they became the dominant church. What did they do? They began to add and take away from the gospel. But thank God there was a little band of people. They were actually called a sect of Jesus Christ. Weird people. They could call them back then. They could say they were atheists. Because they were preaching something different. They were preaching the New Testament church. They were holding on to the faith. They were holding on to the Lord's salvation, realizing in themselves that they could do nothing but in Christ Jesus. That is a very comforting word that we have today. Paul, in the second chapter of the Corinthian letter, verse 4, he says, "Who comforted us in all our tribulation?" Paul is revealing to us that God was with them. It was God that delivered them from the people. It was God that kept them when they themselves. I just know sometimes those apostles, when they, I think about Paul, and Paul was beaten and he would stripes upon his back. We don't know what his back looked like. He was let down in a basket. He was stoned until he was left for dead. Paul speaks about the perils of going in bad weather, going through valleys, going into areas he knew not. But he followed the will of God. God had chosen him to be that vessel to deliver the message to the Gentiles. Paul was obedient to him. And it took a lot of comforting from God the Father to come down and comfort Paul in his great tribulation. And even now he has been rejected by the Corinthian church. But here he says, "Who comforted us in all tribulation, that we might be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves were comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so will our consolation also abound with Christ." So in the first chapter, he reveals to us. He reveals to us here, he said, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." So our forefathers and those that preached the gospel, it was rejected of a man. It's being rejected today. Now the world's always going to reject it, but it's God's people. It was God's people that embraced the false doctrines that Jude warned us about. It was God's people that Peter warned in 1 and 2 Peter, revealed to them that they were a special people. They were a peculiar people. They were a people of God. God had chose them out of the world. He had brought them out. They were Jews. But they were believers, what we call Messianic Jews today. They were believers in Christ crucified. Immediately when they themselves, the little church, begin to meet, they begin to be persecuted by other Jews. I'm afraid in this world today we're laughed at. Our doctrine today, there's no doubt about it. There's two preachers here tonight besides me. And we can testify, and I can tell you there are times when I have admitted to people, and I tell them, they ask me, "What kind of preacher are you?" I say, "Primitive Baptist," and you can look at a scowl on their face. I mean, a frown that's like, not you. But it is an honor to have the truth of the gospel and be able to stand before God's people declaring Jesus crucified. There is no other doctrine. God has revealed it to us in the Scriptures. In this world, we're going to have tribulation. We're going to go through sorrows. We're going to be rejected. The world is going to reject the true doctrine. They're going to embrace the doctrines of men. It is going to happen. And I believe truly, if we look around today, Cool Springs today is blessed. The congregation is there's a lot of people here. Many of our churches, we were thinking about it today. Many of our churches, I was one time when Rosemary Church had over 110 members too. But there is a drying up in the world today. There's a generation behind us that just have never been to church. They just don't believe. We have lost about two or three generations. The world has took them into the world. And they have looked at this Bible and they've made it a mockery. They themselves, they get up and preach about religion. I want to tell you today, there is a lot of religion in America today. The Muslims have religion. The Buddhists have religion. The Shinto have religion. The Hindus have religion. But this is a Bible of theology. And the theology that we have today, it is the truth of the gospel, and that's what our forefathers held on to. That's what they spoke about, even though they were persecuted. Many were burned at the stake for even having the Bible in their hand. That was one time in England and in Europe, that if you preached baptism by immersion, that if you used the wine and the bread, as we do in our communion service, and you washed the saints' feet, you were called a heretic, and there were many burned at the stake. St. Bartholomew's massacre in England that occurred, there was close to 100,000 people killed because of their belief. But yet our fathers held on to the truth of the gospel. We have that glorious truth here today. The world will never embrace this truth, but God has revealed it to it. Our forefathers, they have refused to allow the world to come in and pollute the church. We, as their children, have that duty today. We, as the ministers of the gospel, we have to stick to the program. We're not to add one jot and one tittle to this Bible. We're to seek out the truths. We're not to err. When Jesus told them, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures. We need to know the Scriptures, and the Scriptures all are in one accord. They reveal to us that we were children of nature. Yes, we were dead in trespasses and sin, but have been quickened by that Holy Spirit. God has freed us from the bondage. He has set the captive free. He has set the prisoner free. And now we have that ability to see the glorious truths that are wrote in the Scriptures, and we are not to add one iota to it. You know, when man puts his little 2 cents in there, it's coming from a sinful creature, and I can assure you it's dirty coming out and it's dirty going in. But the truth of the gospel that he has revealed to us, we see the sufferings and the rejections of the truth down through the years. Do not be discouraged, but be encouraged. God is with us. God is that comforter. When we become discouraged, sometimes we think about our little small churches, and we think about Lots Creek Association and other associations at one time. Great churches. They were just full of God's people. At the end of World War II, if you wanted a seat on the back, you had to come early. And I remember going to, first time I went to a Primitive Baptist church when I was but a boy. It was so full on a Sunday night. It didn't have air conditioning. There were people standing on the outside looking through the window, hearing the message being spoken. The preacher in the stand with one of them starch white church, and sweat was just running off of it. Yet he was standing there preaching the truth of the gospel. I didn't believe a word of it then, but thank God I do now. God has revealed it to us. Let us hold on to the glorious truths. Do not be discouraged. And let us be ready. When our children ask us, what do you mean by this? Let us reveal to them that the truth of the gospel is written in His written word. God has blessed us with it. We're to stick to the program. It was handed down to the Gentiles in the Antioch church. Down through the years, it has been faithful. Let us be faithful to hold on to the truth. I thank you for your good attention. Appreciate you so much. It's good to be back home. I'm doing pretty good. I don't have a whole lot of strength, but it is so good to be with you tonight. That was a time for a couple of months that I couldn't go to church, but I had the website, the Cool Spring website. What a blessing it was. You could preach a message here, Brother Philip, in about 3 days I could hear it. And it was a blessing because I could hear the truth. Not being able to come out to the house of God. And I've learned something by that. I want to tell you something today. If you're able to go, you better go. Because there's coming a day when the old body will let you down. And you'll yearn. And you'll look at the clock when it gets about 10:30, 11 o'clock. And you'll look at the clock. And with tears in your eyes, you'll say, oh, if I could just one more time be in the house of the Lord. God has blessed us. We got something here. It is a blessing what we have here today. Let us not pollute that blessing, but let us add to it. Let us be faithful to the cause of Christ. Thank you for your good attention. When you pray, mention my name.